Welcome to today's deep dive. So imagine trying to build a massive software platform, right?
Okay, I'm with you.
And we are talking about 9 distinct products, 85 API endpoints, and nearly 300,000 lines of code.
That is just a massive scale for one person.
Right. Now imagine you have exactly 29 days to do it, and you are billing it for an industry you know absolutely nothing about.
Sounds like a recipe for a complete disaster, honestly.
It really does. Well, today we are looking at a truly fascinating piece of writing. It's part one of a blog series titled Why I Built an AI Fortune-Telling App with Zero Domain Knowledge.
Yeah, and it's quite a read.
It is. Our mission today is to explore how a solo engineer used AI not just to, crank out boilerplate code, but to entirely replace human domain expertise.
Completely replace it.
Yeah, this developer launched a fully working platform with a complex credit economy in under a month without knowing a single thing about the subject matter before day one.
Which is just wild to think about.
The numbers are just staggering. Okay, let's unpack this. I mean, how does someone even begin to attempt that kind of sprint?
What's fascinating here is that the real experiment wasn't, can AI write code? Because that is old news at this point.
Yeah, totally.
We all know AI can generate scripts and,
Yeah.
find missing semicolons. The true hypothesis being tested was much more ambitious.
How so?
Well, it was whether someone with absolutely zero existing knowledge could build a credible, useful, and culturally resonant product in a highly specialized field. And they were using AI as their only knowledge base.
Wow.
Yeah, they weren't using AI as a junior pair programmer. They were relying on it as the lead domain expert.
That is a massive distinction. We are talking about replacing the architect, not just the bricklayer.
Exactly.
But before we get into the actual app and the incredibly optimized technical stack that made this speed possible, we need to look at the creator's motivation.
Right, because you don't just do this for fun.
No, you don't just wake up and commit to a 29-day, 300,000-line sprint without a deep underlying drive.
Definitely not.
And looking at the creator's background, this massive undertaking makes a lot of sense. They have an elite tech resume, but they've spent their entire career executing other people's visions.
Yeah, the resume reads like a tour of big tech infrastructure. I mean, at Airbnb, they built machine learning systems for fraud detection.
Which sounds super intense.
It is. They were writing the complex statistical models, adjusting weights and thresholds, but they were never the ones deciding what fraud actually meant to the business.
Right, they just built the system.
Yeah, they simply executed the parameters that someone else in a boardroom defined.
Then they moved to Apple, right? Optimizing Siri's on-device machine learning pipeline.
Yep.
That means taking an AI model and figuring out how to make it run milliseconds faster directly on your iPhone rather than, sending data to a server.
Which is incredibly technical edge computing work.
Super technical. But they were entirely behind the scenes. They never touched the user-facing product decisions.
Never.
Same story at AWS, scaling the Athena query engine to handle millions of requests, but completely insulated from ever fielding a single customer complaint.
And it didn't change even when they leveled up, right?
No, even after becoming CTO at a startup called Compute Labs, dealing with multi-agent AI systems for massive GPU infrastructure, they were still completely shielded from what they call the messy stuff.
And that messy stuff
Yeah.
is the actual lifeblood of a product.
What do you mean by that?
Well, it is the agonizing, overpricing page copy. It is sitting in a room trying to figure out why the conversion rate is 2% instead of 4%.
Oh, the business side of things.
Exactly. It is rebuilding a landing page 3 times because the marketing positioning just isn't landing with the target audience. Those challenges are completely independent of how elegant the underlying code is.
It's like spending your entire career building the high-performance engine for a race car, but never actually getting to sit in the driver's seat,
That's a great way to put it.
Like, you never get to pick the paint color or decide which track to race on. You know every single bolt, valve, and piston in that engine, but you've never actually felt the steering wheel in your hands.
And that connects deeply to a career frustration that is incredibly common in the tech industry.
I can imagine.
When you spend your whole life shipping other people's specifications, you develop a profound itch. You want to own the full life
You
cycle.
want to do the product design.
Yeah, you want to feel the brutal sting of user feedback loops. You want to make the hard business decisions. And yes, you still want to do the engineering. The drive here was to finally be the decide what to build person, not just the build it person.
So they finally decide to build their own car and drive it. But here's where the story takes a sharp left turn.
Very sharp left turn.
With a background in GPU infrastructure, AWS query engines, and Apple machine learning, the logical next step is to build a developer tool, something B2B, software for other software engineers.
Right, something familiar.
Instead, they chose Chinese metaphysics.
Which is arguably the furthest you can possibly get from Silicon Valley back-end infrastructure.
Seriously, the creator openly admits in the source material that they couldn't explain what a day pillar is.
Yeah, they had no idea.
They didn't know the difference between a heavenly stem and an earthly branch. They'd never had their fortune told, never drawn a tarot card, and never looked at a palm line and thought anything other than, that's a crease in my hand.
Just zero background.
Literally zero. Yeah. So why choose a domain encompassing bazai, astrology, tarot, dream interpretation, and palm reading?
They outlined three highly strategic reasons for this pivot. First, it provided a genuine knowledge gap.
Meaning?
Well, if they had built another developer tool, they would just be exercising muscles they already had. They wouldn't be testing the AI, they'd just be speeding up their own existing workflow.
Oh, I see. They needed a blank slate.
Exactly. They needed a total blank slate to truly test the AI's capability as a domain expert. Second, it is a massive, digitally underserved market.
Really? I wouldn't have guessed that.
Oh, yeah. There are hundreds of millions of Chinese-speaking people who engage with fortune-telling services. The existing digital products serving them are mostly scammy ad farms or incredibly basic single paragraph generators.
Okay, that makes sense from a business perspective.
And third, they recognized that in this specific domain, the tone of the product mattered just as much as the factual correctness.
Wait, hold on. I have pushback here.
Go for it.
If the market is already full of basic birthday paragraph generators and sketchy ad farms, doesn't an AI fortune teller just sound like a high-tech version of a scam?
I hear what you're saying.
Like, how is this actually any different from those sites that just spit out a generic, vaguely positive daily horoscope?
This raises an important question, and it's the exact trap the creator was trying to avoid. The difference lies in the immense depth of the underlying systems, specifically the Bazi system.
Okay, what is Bazi?
Bazi isn't just making up generic platitudes about meeting a tall, dark stranger. It's a highly complex mathematical system of metaphysics that goes back centuries.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize it was mathematical.
Very much so. It involves calculating the precise interactions of the five elements, wood, fire, earth, metal, and water.
Okay.
It maps out 10-year luck pillars and analyzes Daymaster personality theory based on extremely precise cosmic alignments at the exact minute of your birth.
You're telling me an AI wrote the logic for all of that? Actual metaphysical math?
Yes, it did.
How does an AI even test that against itself to know if it's right?
Well, the AI researched these centuries-old rules and translated them into 20,000 lines of structural TypeScript calculation logic.
20,000 lines? That is insane.
Yeah, we aren't talking about flowery text for the user interface. We are talking about complex matrix math to accurately map metaphysical rules into software.
But how did they know it worked?
To validate it, the creator took the outputs generated by this AI-written code and put them in front of real people who actually practice Bazi.
Oh, that's smart.
And those practitioners verified that the complex cosmic calculations were perfectly correct. The goal of the experiment was achieving credible mathematical depth, not just generating random fortunes.
That blows my mind. The AI successfully acted as an ancient metaphysical scholar and a modern software architect simultaneously, writing 20,000 lines of logic for a subject the human developer knew absolutely nothing about.
It really is incredible.
But here's where it gets really interesting. While the AI crushed the complex metaphysical math, there was one critical area where it completely failed out of the box.
Yeah, the hardest challenge of this entire 29-day sprint wasn't getting the 20,000 lines of calculation code right. It was the interpretive tone.
Think about it from the user's perspective. If you open an app for a reading and the output is just overwhelmingly positive, like you're going to be a billionaire, everyone loves you, your future is flawless, it feels incredibly fake.
Totally. You instantly tune it out because it lacks authenticity. But on the flip side, if the reading is entirely negative and bluntly points out every single upcoming disaster in your chart, it feels genuinely cruel.
Yeah, nobody wants that.
Imagine an AI analyzing your Bazi chart and flatly stating, "Your earthly branch indicates inevitable financial ruin and isolation next year."
That would be terrifying.
Right. People come to these services for guidance, often in vulnerable states. A purely logical, unfeeling output from an AI that just dumps harsh metaphysical truths on a user could be actively harmful.
So they needed a balance.
Yes. The creator realized they had to find a very specific, honest, but constructive tone.
And finding that perfect tone required extensive manual prompt iteration. The creator had to sit there over and over, tweaking the instructions.
They were essentially acting as an empathy coach for the machine.
Exactly. They had to look at that harsh financial ruin output and tell the AI, no, that's too blunt, soften the delivery.
Frame it as a period requiring financial caution and careful planning.
All right.
Right? Keeping the core warning intact without destroying the user's hope.
Yeah, and it was the single thing the AI couldn't figure out on its own.
It is a profound irony. Think back to the creator's motivation from the beginning of their career journey.
Getting away from the back end, right?
Exactly. They wanted to escape the sterile, perfectly optimized environment of back-end engineering and get into the messy stuff of human interaction.
Yeah.
And they got exactly what they wished for.
That is so true.
In a project explicitly designed to let AI do all the heavy lifting and technical execution, the most labor-intensive manual part of the entire month was teaching a machine how to speak to humans with empathy and nuance.
But teaching a machine empathy sounds incredibly slow and manual. How do you pull that off while simultaneously writing 284,000 lines of code in under a month?
It's a huge task.
We really need to break down the timeline because translating this massive technical scope into a 29-day sprint requires a level of leverage that almost doesn't sound possible.
It requires a brutally efficient approach to overcoming bottlenecks using a highly optimized technology stack.
Walk us through it.
So the project started on January 21st, 2026. On day one alone, they logged 21 code commits.
Wow.
And over the next 28 days, that grew to 1,134 commits and 66 merged pull requests with detailed descriptions.
That is a blistering pace for a solo developer. But they didn't just code chronologically, did they?
No, they structured the timeline around massive points of leverage. Days 1 through 4 were all about establishing a foundation that would make the rest of the month easy.
What did that foundation look like?
They took 5 standalone apps and moved them into a single monorepo using a tool called TurboRepo.
Okay, for those who don't know, why does a monorepo matter so much?
By grouping everything into a monorepo, they created an architecture where the marginal cost of a new app drops to nearly zero.
Oh, I see.
Think of it like building a neighborhood of 9 houses. Instead of designing a new plumbing and electrical system for every single house, you build one master system underground, and every new house just plugs directly into it.
That makes total sense.
Yeah, so the Bozzi app, the Tarot app, and the Dream Interpretation app all share the exact same authentication system, the same credit economy, the same UI buttons, and the same AI provider connections.
So you build the login screen once, and every new vertical inherits it seamlessly?
Build once, deploy everywhere.
Nice. With that foundation locked in by day 4, days 5 to 10 were focused on branding and building the main landing page.
Right, getting the marketing side sorted.
Then days 12 to 19 introduced the major business logic. They tackled monetization using Stripe, setting up a 4-tier credit economy with classic most popular anchor pricing to drive conversions.
And during this same window, they shipped the most technically ambitious feature of the whole platform.
Which was?
In-browser machine learning for palm and face reading.
Wait, running ML in the browser? That sounds heavy.
It is. Normally, running machine learning requires a user to upload a photo to a massive remote server. The server processes the image, burns expensive compute power, and eventually sends the result back.
Yeah, that's how most apps work.
But it is slow, it costs the developer money, and it presents a huge privacy risk for the user, right? Sending pictures of your face to a random server.
Definitely.
By figuring out how to run the machine learning models directly inside the user's browser, the creator basically turned the user's own laptop or phone into the AI server.
That is brilliant.
It executes locally. It is wildly complex to set up, but the result is a feature that is lightning fast, completely private, and costs the developer nothing in server fees.
Then, moving on to days 20 to 29, those were dedicated to hitting final major milestones.
Wrapping it all up.
They set up resilient streaming infrastructure so the AI responses flow smoothly onto the screen.
Yeah.
You know, mimicking the feeling of a real person typing to you.
Which is crucial for that user experience.
And incredibly, they also handled China AI regulatory compliance, building a dynamic content filter that masks sensitive words without killing the user experience or breaking the flow of the reading.
And all of this was powered by a masterclass in modern web frameworks.
Let's talk about the stack.
They used Next.js, leveraging server components for SEO, so the site ranks well on search engines, and client components for the highly interactive, responsive readings.
Got it. And what about the database?
Supabase served as the backbone for the database and authentication. A massive bottleneck in multi-app platforms is keeping user data synced, right?
Oh, yeah. That sounds like a nightmare.
They used Supabase's real-time subscriptions to sync the user's credit balance across multiple browser tabs instantly.
Oh, so if you have the Tarot app open in one tab and the Bozzi app open in another, and you spend credits on a tarot reading...
The balance drops in the Bozzi tab immediately without you having to refresh the page.
That is so slick.
Yeah. They also use Supabase to smoothly transition anonymous, browsing users into fully authenticated, paying users without losing their session data, which is a massive boost for conversion rates.
And wrapping all of this shared architecture, they used TypeScript across 16 shared packages.
Which was a lifesaver for them.
Because TypeScript enforces strict definitions, right? If the developer changed a core metaphysical calculation in the Bozzi package, the system would instantly flag any resulting errors in the tarot or dream interpretation apps before the code even ran.
Exactly. They're catching cascading bugs at build time, preventing the entire platform from breaking as they moved at light speed.
Now, we absolutely have to talk about the AI strategy itself, because they didn't just plug in a single model like ChatGPT and call it a day.
No, they were much more strategic than that.
They used a highly strategic multi-model approach, routing different tasks to different AIs based on their strengths.
Right. They used Claude for the highly nuanced, empathetic interpretations. You know, the fortune readings that needed that careful tone and emotional intelligence we discussed earlier.
Because Claude excels at natural human-sounding delivery?
Exactly. But for high-volume, daily content generation, where speed and server costs are much bigger factors, they routed the requests to Gemini Flash.
And they didn't just guess which model was performing better, did they?
Nope. They used an analytics tool called Posthog to run feature flags, essentially A/B testing the different AI models against each other.
How did that work in practice?
Well, imagine a scenario where half the users get a dream interpretation generated by Claude and the other half get one from Gemini.
Okay.
Posthog allows the developer to track which group actually comes back the next day or buys more credits. It basically proves mathematically which AI's tone is better for user retention.
Wow. So what does this all mean for you? If you are listening to this right now, think about your own ideas and workflows.
Yeah, it's pretty inspiring.
Imagine having a framework where the friction of starting something completely new is basically zero. You have an idea for a business in the morning, and by the afternoon, the authentication, the database, the payment processing, and the core domain expertise are just there.
Ready to go.
Perfectly integrated.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, what we are witnessing is the birth of the single-person software development agency.
A whole agency in one person.
Yes. The combination of this modern, highly integrated tech stack with AI coding agents allows one individual to execute tasks that used to require a dedicated team of 10 specialists.
It's crazy.
You have one person handling complex in-browser machine learning, database architecture, real-time credit syncing, prompt engineering, and sensitive word masking for international compliance, all in under a month. It is a complete paradigm shift in what we consider solo development.
The incredible journey of building PanPanMao is a testament to the fact that AI is no longer just a pair programmer that helps you find a missing bracket in your code.
It's way beyond that now.
It can effectively serve as your leading domain expert. It allows a single developer to build culturally complex, deeply researched platforms entirely from scratch in weeks, not years or decades.
Which leaves us with a truly provocative thought to consider moving forward.
Let's hear it.
If a solo developer can build a deeply technical, culturally nuanced platform in 29 days with absolutely zero prior knowledge, what happens to the concept of gatekeeping in specialized industries?
Oh, that is a huge question.
Right. For decades, economic value has been locked tightly behind years of study and accumulated domain knowledge. You had to be the absolute expert in your specific lane to build something valuable there.
You had to put in the 10,000 hours.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If the barrier to entry for acquiring that specialized knowledge has essentially dropped to zero, the entire landscape shifts. Does the true value in the future shift completely away from what you know to purely how well you can execute and empathize with the user?
That is the ultimate question we are all going to have to answer. If you don't need to spend 10 years studying the load-bearing capacity of steel before you can build the skyscraper, the limitations vanish. What unknown domain would you conquer tomorrow if you had an AI expert sitting right there with you? Suddenly, you aren't just the person building the engine anymore. You get to drive the car, pick the track, and decide exactly where the race is going.